Parate viam Domini, rectas facite semitas eius. Make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, on this last Sunday of Advent, we find ourselves almost at the end of our wait. On the 17th, we began a time of more intense preparation for the coming of our Lord. Holy Mother Church teaches us this holy impatience and bids us sing every evening at Vespers an antiphon addressed to our Lord, beginning with the letter O. In the Divine Office, since the start of Advent, we see all the prophecies of the coming of our Lord from the Old Testament, particularly from the prophet Isaiah, sometimes called the fifth evangelist. The O antiphons uses the titles of our Lord from these prophecies: O Wisdom, O Adonai, O Root of Jesse, O Key of David, O Morning Star, King of the Nations, O Emmanuel. Starting from the 17th until the 23rd, under the guidance of Holy Mother Church, we find ourselves becoming more and more insistent that our Lord come to save us. Through the venerable Advent liturgy of the Church, the joyful expectation of the coming of our Lord is palpable. The Church does not hide her impatience for this coming, much awaited since original sin. These 4 weeks signify the thousands of years that fallen humanity has been waiting the promised Redeemer. God himself kept alive this hope in the hearts of man by keeping one promise after another that he made over the centuries to Noah and the patriarchs, to Moses and the prophets. The angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas, reminds us that the incarnation of Christ took place at the most suitable time, when the whole Roman world was in peace under the Emperor Augustus, toto orbe in pace compositum, and at the same time of the year when the days begin to get longer. If Christ took human flesh soon after the fall of man, man would not know the horror of sin. If he waited longer, man would have despaired of the coming of the Messiah. Time after time, we read in the Gospels of the kingdom of God, our Lord himself speaking of his kingdom, being in our midst when he is with us. It would be unbecoming of man to welcome a thrice holy God with disordered passions and inclinations to sin rife in his soul. Therefore, the joy of his imminent coming should be prepared by an appropriate period of penance. This is the point of today's gospel. Make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. This passage taken from St. Luke shows us that the coming of our Lord happened at a precise time in human history. The evangelist St. Luke was a physician by training, as shown by the erudition of his writing. He did not shy away from putting down facts of history that made the incarnation a precisely datable event. In the first chapter, when he talks of the birth of St. John the Baptist, he writes that it happened in the days of Herod, king of Judea. In the second chapter, when he talks of the birth of our Lord, he speaks of a decree of Caesar Augustus. Likewise, in today's gospel, when it is time to talk of the beginning of the baptism of our Lord, St. Luke puts the event in its historical context. Our Lord lived and worked among us at a precisely datable time in human history. At this time, Israel was no longer a kingdom with its own king. The Roman emperor ruled the land and established a state of peace by dividing it among 4 kings, none of whom were of the chosen people. Moreover, under the influence of foreigners, the Holy Land was half paganized with the abandonment of the true faith at that time by many who were perhaps disillusioned that God had abandoned them to foreigners. It was in the state of political darkness when all seemed lost that our Lord chose to come and establish his kingdom. Moreover, the religious situation of the chosen people was divided. The Pharisees refused all compromise with the Hellenistic Roman culture that threatened to assimilate Israel to the pagans. They chose to live in an exact observance of the instructions of the Torah. The Sadducees, on the other hand, sought to compromise with the Romans while practicing an enlightened Judaism. We see from a reading of the Gospels that very few of either group came to recognize and accept Jesus as the Messiah. When the leadership is so lost, surely the followers will be as well. An inability to recognize the Messiah by those who were the experts in the law and the prophets showed in them a blindness caused by sin. It may seem to us that we are in a similar situation in our time. It is in this context that St. John the Baptist was sent as the precursor to our Lord. It is in this context that we should understand his announcing the coming of our Lord and his appeal to Israel to repent of their sins. Make ready the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Those who sought the political and national independence of Israel had failed to understand that their Savior, who would be called Emmanuel, would take care of their souls in the first place, while offering them the benefits of a spiritual life for their true home in heaven. They were willing to fight violently to the death for a political Messiah, but not for the Prince of Peace. They were ready to sacrifice themselves to re-establish a kingdom of Israel on the earth, but the kingdom that was promised them was a supernatural and divine one. They were not ready to offer spiritual sacrifices for such a kingdom. The Messiah promised to them, this Prince of Peace, this King of Kings, wanted to conquer, to subject to his laws and place under his rule the very hearts of his people. The only weapon that he wished to use was penance for one's sins. For this reason, he sent before him his precursor, St. John the Baptist, to preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The Pharisees taught the people a ritualistic expiation of sins by making frequent ablutions. Their pride had blinded them to the fact that these ablutions were ineffective before God without a true repentance for sins in the heart. The Baptist on Jordan's bank preached the importance of that true interior penitence by which the pride in the soul would be cut down and concupiscence was brought to heel. He pointed out the importance of receiving a new baptism that would bring about the remission of sins. He was the first messenger of mercy who taught the people this consoling doctrine of pardon and redemption from one's sins by penance. A complete contrast to the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who had made the laws of God burdensome and oppressive. St. John Chrysostom teaches us that the baptism of repentance of St. John the Baptist was a preparation to receive the remission of sins. This baptism, however, did not bring them grace, but it had the effect of preparing them for faith in Jesus Christ, who is the author or the source of grace of God. This baptism of St. John, joined with an interior contrition for one's sins, was a more efficient means of obtaining their remission than all the ablutions of the old law. It prepared those who received it to desire a purity of heart, by which they would be well disposed to receive the baptism of Christ. It follows then that this is what we must also do to prepare our hearts for our Lord to come. As St. John exhorted on the banks of the Jordan, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. How do we do this, since there are so many obstacles to those who wish to lead an honest life? With the incarnation of our Lord, this task is no longer as difficult as it was. Saint Cyril of Alexandria explains that in the time of the Old Testament, the difficulty came mainly from the fact that men's minds were immersed in worldly pleasures. But now that God has taken up human flesh and condemned sin, this is no longer the case. His grace conquers all. Neither hill nor valley is an obstacle to those who wish to advance to heaven. Origen points out that with the help of the Holy Spirit, every valley can be filled with good works, and by the fruits of the Holy Spirit, with continued growth in virtue and perfection, we will conquer mountains and hills to get to God. Let us confide ourselves to Our Lady this Christmas. Since our world in the darkness of sin and death so sorely needs a Savior, let us place ourselves under her mantle so that under her maternal guidance, our crooked paths will be made straight. Our hearts of wickedness, perverted by injustice, will be turned to the rule of justice. Our rough ways will be made smooth, and our fierce, sinful, and savage dispositions will return to gentleness and meekness by the influence of divine grace brought to us by her hands. Even if all seems lost, let us remember how it was for Israel and how by a few of them showing true faith in our all-powerful and almighty God, all mankind saw the salvation of God. The virtue and knowledge of the gospel shall be extended even to the end of the world, turning mankind from savage manners and perverse wills to meekness and gentleness. All mankind indeed shall see the salvation of God. Prope est iam Dominus, recta facite semita seus. The Lord is near, make straight his paths. May Our Lady, the Mother of God, and Saint Joseph, the foster father of our Lord, help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.